Bobby took a final look around the apartment, and as he listened to his mother snore, he felt an involuntary tugging at his heart and mind. Ted was right. In spite of everything, he loved her still. If there was Ka, then loving her was part of his. Still, he hoped to never see her again. "Bye, Mom," Bobby whispered. A minute later, he was running down Broad Street Hill into the deepening gloom, one hand wrapped around the wad of money in his pocket so none of it would bounce out. Ten. Down there again. Corner boys, low men in yellow coats, the payout. He called a cab from the pay telephone at Spicer's, and while he waited for his ride, he took down a Brodigan Lost Pet poster from the outside bulletin board. He also removed an upside-down file card advertising a 57 Rambler for sale by the owner. He crumpled them up and threw them in the trash barrel by the door, not even bothering to look back over his shoulder to see if old man Spicer, whose foul temper was legendary among the kids on the west side of Harwich, had seen him do it. The Sigsby twins were down here now, their jump ropes put aside so they could play hopscotch. Bobby walked over to them and observed the shapes, a star, a comet, a crescent moon, drawn beside the grid. He got down on his knees, and Dinah Sigsby, who'd been about to toss her stone at the seven, stopped to watch him. Diane put her grimy fingers over her mouth and giggled. Ignoring them, Bobby used both of his hands to sweep the shapes into chalk blurs. When he was done, he stood up and dusted his hands off. The pole light in Spicer's tiny three-car parking lot came on. Bobby and the girls grew sudden shadows, much longer than they were. "Why'd you do that, stupid old Bobby Garfield?" Dinah asked. "They were pretty." "They're bad luck," Bobby said. "Why aren't you at home?" Not that he didn't have a good idea. It was flashing in their heads like the beer signs in Spicer's window. "Mom and Daddy having a fight," Diane said. "She says he got a girlfriend." She laughed, and her sister joined in, but their eyes were frightened. They reminded Bobby of the Litlands in Lord of the Flies. "Go home before it gets all the way dark," he said. "Mama said stay out," Dinah told him. "Then she's stupid, and so is your father. Go on." They exchanged a glance, and Bobby understood that he had scared them even more. He didn't care. He watched them grab their jump ropes and go running up the hill. 5 minutes later, the cab he'd called pulled into the parking area beside the store, its headlights fanning the gravel.
"Huh," the cabbie said. "I don't know about taking any little kid to Bridgeport after dark, even if you do got the fare."
"It's okay," Bobby said, getting him back. If the cabbie meant to throw him out now, he'd better have a crowbar in the trunk to do it with. "My grandfather will meet me." But not at the corner pocket. Bobby'd already decided he wasn't going to pull up to the place in a checker. Someone might be watching for him. "At the Whoa Fat Noodle Company. That's on Narragansett Avenue." The corner pocket was also on Narragansett. He hadn't remembered the street name, but had found it easily enough in the yellow pages after calling the cab. The driver had started to back out into the street. Now he paused again.
"Nasty Gansett Street? Christ, that's no part of town for a kid, not even in broad daylight."
"My grandfather's meeting me," Bobby repeated. "He said to tip you half a rock, you know, 50 cents. For a moment, the cabbie teetered. Bobby tried to think of some other way to persuade him and couldn't think of a thing. Then the cabbie sighed, dropped his flag, and got rolling. As they passed his building, Bobby looked to see if there were any lights on in their apartment. There weren't, not yet. He sat back and waited for Harwich to drop behind them.